of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is being made available telephonically for access by the public. C.J. Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good afternoon. This is C.J. Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask participants to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good afternoon. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel speaking. Members of the public can visit the Ara Housing website to view today's agenda and information and documents on each of the actions being presented today. If the teleconference portion of the meeting is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored for those listening in via teleconference. Chairman Stephen Pryor will preside at this afternoon's meeting. Commissioner, staff, and honored guests, if you will, please state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those joining us by teleconference. With that, I will turn it over to the chair to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. I'm pleased to do so. This is Stephen Pryor, and I'm calling the meeting to order. It's 1:07 p.m., and I'm going to begin by asking Carol to do the roll.
Certainly. Commissioner McAllister?
Here.
Commissioner Orr?
Here.
Commissioner Pryor?
Here.
Commissioner Womer?
Here.
Commissioner Diosa?
Here.
Commissioner Designee?
Here.
Chairman?
All right. As an initial matter, I'm going to introduce board action number one, which is approval of the minutes of the board meeting of April 18th. Will you please refresh your recollection, take a quick look, and when you're ready, I will entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve. This is Steve. I'll make your second. This is Diosa.
Motion made and seconded. Any edits? Any discussion? Hearing none, Corey, would you please conduct the voice vote?
Happy to. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on April 18th, 2024, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. With 6 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Thank you very much. Traditionally, this is the segment item 2 for chairman's remarks. We're honored to have Governor Dan McKee with us today, so I'm going to defer to the governor and offer time to the governor for opening remarks, and I'll say a word or two. Governor, welcome.
Thank you for the invitation to be here. Governor Dan McKee speaking. Carol, thank you so much for inviting me into the meeting here today, which I think is another reflection in terms of the work that's being done at Rhode Island Housing, so thank you and all your staff. We're working on, and shout out to the board here as well, Stephen, thank you for chairing, and also the role you play as Secretary of Housing. We know that there'll be some investments that'll be discussed today by the board, and we're encouraged by the agenda and the package, along with investments that are made in April and March, includes an additional 1,000 newly financed units. Particularly happy of the funds that our administration has contributed to this effort, of the $102 million being discussed today, $63 million comes from the state fiscal recovery funds. And again, we give a thank you to the congressional delegation for securing the funds to make this possible, and the General Assembly for approving our request and our budget line items regarding housing. And Speaker Sakachi in particular, along with President Dominic Ruggiero. The consolidated funding round, the third of its kind, including programs from Rhode Island Housing and the Department of Housing. This approach allows us to leverage our resources so that together we can address the housing production and preservation needs of our state as effectively as possible. When you combine the results from this round of funding with the results from the state recovery, fiscal recovery funds, they have already been approved. We're funding over 2,600 units, of which 2,000 are affordable housing. From a quick Aquidneck Island to northern end of the state, and in between, right here in the capital city, Rhode Island Housing and Department of Housing are making investments that are going to make Rhode Island's lives better. I want to take a moment to recognize the more than 20 developers whose projects were either recently approved or will be voted on today. Many of them are here today, so thank you for your participation and for the work that you're doing throughout the state of Rhode Island. When we consider the expertise and energy in this room, I know that given the work you've done and are about to do, that we can make an impact on increasing housing inventory here in Rhode Island, which I think that from the General Assembly leadership to our office, to this board, and Rhode Island Housing knows that's a priority for all of us. I want to thank you for your commitment and your actions and all the developers that are here today for the work that's in progress, but also the work that's going to be developed over the next several months. When you get through your agenda today, and as we make progress over the weeks, months, and years to come, I look forward to seeing the progress we are making on each of these projects and the impact they will have on Rhode Island families. I also want to say that we're not done. This summer, there will be additional funding opportunities available across a number of funding streams, and then there will be more rounds after that. I'll let Secretary Pryor speak to these in more depth. We want Rhode Islanders to know that my administration is committed to keeping the momentum going. We thank you for all your work, and on behalf of Rhode Islanders, we thank you for the board's consideration of the proposed investments that are on your agenda today. Thank you. Secretary?
Thank you very much, Governor. We're grateful that you took the time to be here at our board meeting where the work is getting done, and that every day you're doing the work to make sure we have the resources we need. And as Director Womer will attest, time and time again, in the midst of all kinds of choices, you have chosen housing among your priorities, and you've doubled and you've tripled down. And we greatly appreciate it, and we continuously pledge to be good stewards of these dollars, and working with Carol Ventura and the team here, the dollars are getting out. And we're so pleased that looking back on the most recent round of funding where 1,600 units were financed, we're so pleased that that's moving through the pipeline, Governor, and that 40% of projects and fully 31% of units are in construction or are already completed. And that number grows every day, Carol. Yes. So the work is happening out there in the field as a result of the work that's happening in this room and in this building. And we're very proud to serve you, Governor, and to continue this good work. As you've expressed, the cumulative number over the last three rounds of administered funding is 2,600 units that are being financed. And we are also pleased that just today alone, there'll be actions taken to finance over 1,000 units. That's both for production and preservation purposes. This is a significant contribution, but we know so much work needs to be done, as you yourself have emphasized, Governor. So much more work needs to be done. But I keep describing the work, and there are developers right here in this room. And I do want to, in effect, start with asking, if you're a developer or part of a development team, could you raise your hands? We are so grateful to you for getting it done, because we're part of your capital stack, we're part of your effort, and we're behind you. So thank you for all of your incredible efforts every single day. And Carol Ventura and the team here, we are just so, so proud of the work that you're getting done. The pressures are ever greater. The market is challenging. The conditions are severe out there. We do need to do better in terms of housing production, and this team is working every single day to get it done. So, Carol, thank you one more time. And I do want to thank, this has been, under this governor, an interwoven process with new funds that are delegated to the department in a single one-stop process. So I want to thank Deputy Secretary Deb Flannery and Assistant Secretary Hannah Moore for working with this team, including Ann Berman, under Carol James and the entire team. to work in this integrated manner in accordance with our priorities and make sure that we're getting the decisions made. As the governor said, more needs to be done. Our housing challenges are substantial, and this funding round will help. 1,000 additional units financed is a non-trivial number. That's significant, but we have so much more to do. So there will be another mini funding round with some of the funds that are not yet being deployed, and Carol and we will work to articulate that round and to issue a solicitation for this purpose in the summer. That funding round, more modest though it may be, will include housing production funds with extremely low income, focused under the HPF ELI program, the emergency rental assistance, $2, where there's eligibility for things like site acquisition and pre-development work through newly revised federal guidance, and remaining middle-income housing funds. The round that begins this summer will be in excess of $10 million, and more precise figures will be released soon. Finally, and as they say, last but not at all least, to my fellow commissioners, thank you for the hard work that you do on top of your day jobs, whether they be private sector or public sector jobs. Kevin Orth, special hat off to you as chair of our credit committee. There's a lot of work that goes into getting this done, and the governor is very grateful. So congratulations on getting to this point. Let's get through the actual agenda and do the advancing of these items. So the next item, extremely important, is agenda item 3, which is the executive director's review of recent activities and trends. So now back to you, Carol.
Yes, so I'm going to defer my report and just thank the governor for being here today as we present you actions for over $100 million in funding that will support hundreds and hundreds of homes across our state. I also want to acknowledge our partner developers. They do yeoman's work. And today we're celebrating housing awards that we're making, but I want people to remember this also means jobs. All of these dollars are going into construction jobs to renovate and build homes across our state. So we thank you for your leadership, Governor.
Okay, Carol, thank you so much. I'm gonna take off.
Thanks, sir.
The work that you're doing, and I keep it up, and it does fit into our 2030 plan. So Rhode Island 2030 plan, this does fit in to all the metrics that we're talking about. We know that housing is a big piece in terms of raising incomes, which is what we start talking about very seriously in the coming weeks. And it also helps us with this whole idea of the Lent 365 that we're working on in terms of raising academic outcomes. Housing is important to that. It was at the White House yesterday, so nationally they are kind of seeing the work that we're doing, not only here in this room, but also the work that's being done across the board relative to the areas that we've set as goals in the state, which is being spelled out. I think we have a draft 3 coming on the Rhode Island 2030 plan. Stephen was very integral in getting the first and second draft done. So keep up the good work, and I appreciate the work that's being done.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
All right, into the business agenda. Thank you all once again. Board action number 4, from approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits, LIHTC, and financing for Rosebrook Commons, Middletown. I'm going to ask Ann Berman to do the honors.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman. This is Ann Berman. And I want to acknowledge, I'll do my best to acknowledge developers. Methuen Development Corporation is with us today. This request is for firm commitment of up to $1.1 million of 9% tax credits, as well as approval of a mortgage in the amount of $3.7 million, and a home loan, a development of affordable housing 2 loan, a middle income program loan. Rosebrook Commons received preliminary approval in May of 2023 and additional gap funding in March of this year, which paved the way for this firm commitment. Rosebrook is going to be a mixed-use development located on West Main Road in Middletown. When completed, it will have a total of 64 units, and about 21,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground floor. There will be a condominium with separate, with the commercial and the residential being financed separately. The residential portion will include a mix of 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units, 51 of which will be LIHTC, and there'll be 13 middle-income units that go up to 120% of the AMI. There will also be 13 units that'll be affordable to households with incomes up to 30% of AMI, and they will benefit from a previously awarded HPF ELI operating subsidy. Since preliminary approval, overall costs have increased. That's going to be a common theme you're going to hear today, primarily in the construction line item because of higher site costs. There were some unsuitable soils. There was more environmental remediation than originally anticipated. Plans and specs were completed, and as we discussed, some general industry-wide increase in construction. To address some of the increases, the developer was awarded some additional funding last month, including the Priority Projects Fund, and the developer is also deferring a sizable portion of their fee. The syndicator is Boston Financial. This will be part of a multi-fund with pricing at about 89 cents. Citizens Bank will be a partner, and they will be providing the construction loan for both the residential and commercial. So in summary, we are looking for firm approval of the reservation of Rhode Island Housing Tax Credit, the first mortgage, a Rhode Island Housing Home Loan, a development of affordable housing, 2-loan, and a middle income program loan. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Jonathan Wilmer.
How about a second?
Second, James Diosa.
Moved and seconded. Another opportunity for questions or comments. This has obviously been through our credit committee. There's been discussion. This will be true for these items. But still, any? Hearing none, Lori, would you please conduct the voice vote?
Happy to. All those in favor of firm approval of a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and financing for Rosebrook Commons in Middletown, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 6 votes in the affirmative, the motion is approved.
All right, we're on to board action 5. 5 is approval of tax exempt financing for Reynolds Farm Senior Housing 2 in North Kingstown. Back to you, Ann.
Thank you. Again, this is Ann Berman. This is for firm approval of a tax exempt construction loan of about $8,750,000, a permanent loan of $625,000 that will be taxable, as well as a DAH loan, a housing trust fund loan, and a home loan. And this is for Reynolds Farm 2. Valley Affordable is the developer, and I want to recognize Milton Baxter, who's sitting in the back, who is here today representing Valley Affordable Housing. Like the previous action, this development received preliminary approval in May of 2023 and additional funding from this committee in March of this year. Reynolds Farm 2 is this is the culmination of a long process. It's the new construction of 40 age-restricted units in North Kingstown, and it is the second phase of a two-phase project. The first phase, also 40 units, was completed in 2021 and is fully occupied with nominal vacancy. 40 units in this phase will have 1- and 2-bedroom apartments. 11 of those units will be restricted to 30% AMI with the balance. This second phase will bring in the total units, as I mentioned, to 80. And this was the affordable unit requirement that was part of the permitting and planning approval for the entire Reynolds Farm development, which began construction in 2014. I think it's worth noting that when complete, Reynolds Farm will have 20,000 square feet of commercial space, 220 market apartments, 41 condominiums, and over 200 single-family homes, in addition to these 80 affordable units. Since preliminary approval, plans and specs were completed, financing costs, insurance costs, increased, and equity pricing dropped a little bit. There was an overall increase of just under $2 million. The developer was able to increase syndication overall, even though pricing went down a little bit, and they did increase their first mortgage. The balance of the gap was covered with DAH funds that were awarded a couple of months ago. The syndicator is Hudson Capital, and their investor is Santander Bank, so it's nice to have new players in the market. And in summary, we're requesting firm approval of a tax-exempt loan not to exceed $8,750,000, first mortgage of $625,000 that will be taxable, a DAH 2 loan of $7,860,000, a housing trust fund loan of $1,340,000, and a home loan of $1 million. Happy to answer questions.
Questions?
I make a motion. James DeRosa.
Thank you, Treasurer. Is there a second? Mr. Chair, having heard second, I'll entertain any further questions or discussion. Hearing none, Corey, let's go ahead with the voice vote.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of firm approval of tax-exempt financing for Reynolds Farm Senior Housing 2 in North Kingstown, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is unanimous and it's approved. Thank you.
Board action 6, firm approval of financing for Adi Bethune House in Portsmouth. Back to you, Ann.
Thank you, Chairman. This project is Adi Bethune House, the developer's church community, and I want to acknowledge somewhere back there is Christian Belden, who's the executive director. So this request is, again, firm approval, so they'll be breaking ground soon. Tax-exempt loan of $13.6 million, of which about $2.93 will remain as permanent first mortgage. We're also seeking firm approval of a capital magnet fund loan, a DAH 2 loan, a home loan, and housing trust fund loan. And similar to the two previous actions, this project received preliminary approval as a result of the last RFP we did in May of 2023, as well as additional gap funding in March. Adi Bethune is the new construction development in Portsmouth. When complete, there will be 54 age-restricted units, as well as a new senior center. The 54 units will remain affordable with incomes up to 80%, so there'll be 30% to 80% units using income averaging, and the six 30% units will benefit from a previously approved HPF ELI award. Again, familiar theme, construction costs increased significantly at this site, primarily as a result of the requirement for a much more advanced septic system due to a high water table, which is probably higher today than it's been in a long time, the inclusion of a PV solar array, as well as a change that had to be made with the general contractor. In addition to the additional funding that was received in March, the developer was also awarded a Federal Home Loan Bank Affordable Housing Program loan, which helped the capital stack. MITEC's equity was increased. As the project is now, this was a great benefit to the site. The property is now designated as part of a difficult-to-develop area, which allowed the project to qualify for additional 30% boost under the tax credit program. The syndicator is NEF. The investor will be Webster Bank, and Bank Newport will also participate in the construction financing. So in summary, we're seeking approval of a $13.6 million tax-exempt loan, $7 million over $7 million of a DAH 2 loan, $1 million in home, $1 million in HTF, and a $200,000 capital magnet fund loan. Happy to go into more detail if needed.
Oh, it's all, ma'am. Thank you. Questions before the motion? And I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Jonathan Wilmer.
Thank you, Director.
Second, James DeRosa.
Thank you, Treasurer. Having been moved and seconded, another chance at questions or comments? Hearing none, Corey, would you please?
Yes. All those in favor of firm approval of financing for Adi Bethune House in Portsmouth as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Again, we have six yeas and the motion's approved.
First of two action items pertaining to the project. This is action 7, approval of reservation of low-income housing. preliminary approval of financing for Center City Apartments. This is the 9% item, and it is to Ann to present the item.
Thank you. And just a note, the next five actions are all preliminary approval of 9% tax credits as a result of this recent. Before I start, I want to acknowledge Jen Hawkins here with her team. Jen is the executive director of One Neighborhood Builders, and this is a really interesting program in terms of the collaborative partnership that she has established with Crossroads. So Michelle Wilcox is here, with Foster Forward, Lisa Gallette is here, and Children's, Margaret Holland is here. So this request is for preliminary approval of a project to be known as Center City. This is a hybrid 9% and 4% transaction with two separate partnerships and two separate resolutions. It's okay, I'll just go ahead and present both.
Perfect.
Great. For the 9% project, the request is for a reservation of $1,625,000 of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of a first mortgage, capital magnet fund loan, home ARP funds, community revitalization program funds, and DAH2 funding. For the 4% project, we are seeking preliminary approval of a tax-exempt construction loan in an amount of $11,600,000, of which $2.3 million as permanent. As I said, one is the developer. They have formed a partnership with Foster Forward, Family Service, and Crossroads, and this collaborative is to provide various supportive services to the residents of Center City with a focus on individuals and families who are homeless or at risk of homelessness. The proposed development is on a blighted three-acre site in East Providence, and I note that a portion of the acquisition for this was covered through our site acquisition program. The 9% portion will develop 95 units in two buildings, one of which will be new construction, and the other is the gut rehabilitation of an existing building. The 4% tranche will include 49 units in one new construction building. In total, there will be 144 units, ranging in size from efficiencies to three bedrooms. And while it would be preferable, and our goal is to close both tranches simultaneously, if they move at slightly different paces, that's okay since they're distinct buildings. Both tranches will employ income averaging, allowing them to serve households 30% to 80% of AMI. In the 9% portion, there will be 31 30% units, which is tremendous. And a portion of those will be subsidized through an HPF ELI award that will be made later on this morning. The 4% deal will include 21 30% units. Currently, there are no subsidies associated with those units. The project will utilize a solar roof array. They do intend to meet and hopefully exceed Tier 2. All of the buildings will be electric, and this was the highest scoring project under the 9% funding round. And I'm happy to report that plans and specs are 90% complete and permit ready. Similar to the other RFAs that you're going to hear about today, syndication pricing, construction cost pricing, all of that needs to be finalized as just part of our standard due diligence, and no doubt they are going to move quickly. So between the two RFAs, we have two resolutions. The first is for the 9% action, a reservation of $1,625,000 of 2024 and/or 2025 low-income housing tax credits, and preliminary approval of a mortgage of $4 million, first mortgage of $4 million, capital magnet fund loan of $999,000, a DAH2 loan of $2,600,861. I apologize, I can't read my own text here. A home ARP loan of $2 million and a community revitalization program grant of $993,139. If you want to take that one first. The second is for the 4%, which we're seeking approval of $11,600,000 tax exempt loan.
Corey, is there precedent for taking two items together?
That's if they've just been presented together?
We'll need two motions and two votes, please.
All right, so let's do them individually in that case. This is Board Action 7,
which pertains to,
in effect, the 9% yield.
So Board Action 7.
First of all, any questions? Fran, Treasurer.
Chair, I'd like to recuse.
Thank you, Treasurer. Noted, Corey?
Noted, thank you.
Any other points of any kind, including questions or comments?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
Second, this is Steve.
Moved by Kevin, seconded
by Steve.
Second opportunity for questions or comments on Board Action 7. Hearing none,
Corey, would you take the roll, please?
Of course. All those in favor of approving a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing as presented for Center City Apartments, the 9% project located in East Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Noting one recusal, we have 5 votes in the affirmative and the motion's approved.
We're moving on to Action 8, which is in essence regarding the 4% deal. On Item 8, first of all, and
you have completed your presentation.
Yes, I have.
Good.
And Treasurer, did you likewise wish to recuse in this instance?
Sorry.
This is the same project, just
yeah,
the second item. Okay, so.
Noted,
thank you.
Any questions or comments prior to a motion? Is there a motion?
So moved, Jonathan Wilmer.
Is there a second?
Second, Sarah Cabal.
Moved and seconded. Another opportunity for questions or comments on Item 8. Hearing none, Corey, would you conduct the voice vote on Item 8?
Happy to. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Center City Apartments, the 4% project located in East Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With the Treasurer recusing, we have 5 affirmative votes and the motion is approved.
Congratulations to the coalition involved with this project. Thank you. Introducing Board Action 9, approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits, LIHTC, and preliminary approval of financing for Omni Newark Apartments in Providence. Ann.
Thank you. Thank you. So this request for action is, again, approval of an allocation of 9% low-income housing tax credits in an amount not to exceed $1,338,580. And preliminary approval of a Rhode Island housing taxable mortgage in an amount of $1,725,000, a home loan of $1,000,000, a middle income loan not to exceed $985,000, CRP grant of $1,251,861, and a capital magnet fund loan of $775,000 for Omni Newark Apartments. Omni Development Corporation is the developer, and I'm happy to acknowledge Sharon Morris back in the back there, who's done a great job with this proposal. Also, this was a site that was funded with a staff grant in April of 2022, and that paved the way for the submission of this application. So
site acquisition program.
Great to see these dollars, making the impact that they are. Omni Newark was the second highest scoring project in our 9% round. It will be the new construction of a podium-style building with parking on the ground floor and 4 floors of apartments above. There will be 52 units, 32 one beds and 22 beds. 41 of these will be LIHTC for households below 60%, and the remaining 11 will be affordable to households below 80% of AMI. The Providence Housing Authority has awarded project-based vouchers for 8 of these units, and the remaining 3 are being recommended for the remaining 3 30% units are being recommended for HPF ELI funds this morning. So as currently proposed, the underwriting meets all of our standard guidelines. Again, we'll work with our finance team for the best execution of the first mortgage, as well as work through all the due diligence. So in summary, we're requesting approval of the 9% LIHTC, first mortgage, home loan, middle income, capital magnet funds, and CRP funds.
Thank you. First chance for questions or comments. Hearing none, is there a motion?
Motion by James Diosa.
And is there a second?
Second. Jonathan Wilmer.
Second chance at comments or questions.
Hearing none, Corey, for the boys' vote, please.
Of course. All those in favor of approving a reservation of loan from housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing as presented for Omni Newark Apartments located in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With a unanimous vote, the motion is approved.
Congratulations, Sharon and team.
All right, on to action number 10, approval of reservation of loan from housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for parcel 9, phase 2 in Providence. And please describe.
Thank you. This request is for approval of an allocation of 9% credits in an amount of $1 million, as well as preliminary approval of DAH funds, housing trust funds, housing production funds, and acquisition revitalization funds. As the chairman mentioned, this is parcel 9, phase 2, and the developer is Penrose, and I want to just note that the developer for Penrose is out of the country right now. Oh, is Becca there? Oh, you did make it. I didn't see you back there. Rebecca Schofield is here. So this is the new construction mixed-use, mixed-income development. It's on a vacant parcel in Providence. It's the second phase of a planned two-phase development, land freed up on as part of the I-195. And for you Rhode Islanders, it's located behind Adler's Hardware Store, and it's adjacent to the Lady of Rosaries Church. Phase one is currently under construction, approximately 50% complete. Phase two will have 61 units, 36 of which will be LIHTC for households 30 to 60%. There are 13 middle income units and an additional 12 that will be market rate. 13 of the units will be reserved for households at 30% of AMI. This application was the third highest scoring project under our 9% round. And similar to phase one, Penrose plans to partner with Operation Stand Down to provide services for qualified veterans living in the development. Currently, Rhode Island Housing is not identified as the senior lender, so we'll see where that goes as they work through their underwriting. And to save time, I won't go through all the numbers again, but it's $1 million of tax credits as well as DAH2 home funds, housing trust funds, housing production fund, and acquisition revitalization funds.
Any questions preceding the motion? I'll entertain one. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Steve?
Steve.
Is there a second?
Second, Jonathan Warner.
Second, Jonathan. Any questions or comments? None. Corey, would you conduct the voice vote, please?
Yes, of course. All those in favor of approving a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing as presented for Parcel 9, Phase 2, located in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 yeas. The motion's approved. Thank you.
Rebecca and the team at Penrose, congratulations. All right, on to item 11, approval of reservation of LIHTC and preliminary approval of financing for 321 Knight Street, Providence. Please, Ann.
Thank you, Chairman. The developer swap, and I want to direct that Carla DeStefano. She and I have been around a while and can't even count the number of deals we've now done together, so congratulations. This request for action is for, again, approval of a 9% LIHTC award in the amount not to exceed $1,290,000, as well as preliminary approval of a first mortgage, an acquisition revitalization program loan, capital magnet fund loan, a home loan, and a CRP grant. This was the fourth highest scoring project in the 9% round. The site is currently a vacant blighted location at the corner of Knight and Atwell's Avenue in Providence. Swap is proposing a new construction podium-style building with parking on the ground floor and 4 floors of apartments above. When completed, the site will have 41 units, all of which will be affordable. The goal here is a focus on families with 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. Nine of the units will be available for households with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and SWAP will be partnering with West Bay, Rhode Island, to provide services for these units. There will be nine 30% units, and the project is being recommended for each PF ELI subsidy. The building is the total development cost, which we discussed at the credit committee, is just north of $500,000 a unit. We did review this with our design and construction team, and they noted that there are a lot of two- and three-bedroom units, which does add some cost overall. The building is also on a tough site with podium over parking, and it's only just a small percentage above our sort of standard preferred cost, and very much consistent overall with the similar projects being approved under this round. And again, all of standard due diligence will be performed when we get back to firm. Again, preliminary approval of a reservation of 9% credits, first mortgage, ARP funds, CMF funds, home funds, and community revitalization program.
Any questions for the motion? Is there a motion?
Make a motion. James Gios.
Is there a second?
Second. Sarah Kapos.
Motion made and seconded. Questions or comments? Hearing none. This is action 11. I'm going to ask Corey to go ahead and conduct the voice vote.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of approving a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for the project known as 321 Knight Street in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. It appears we have another unanimous vote, and the motion is approved.
Carla Swap and congratulations.
12, revised approval of reservation of LIHTC and preliminary approval of financing for the Villages at Mansfield.
This is in Lincoln, and
to you.
Thank you. This one is a little bit different that it's a revised reservation of 9% tax credits in an amount not to exceed $1,344,000, as well as revised preliminary approval of a first mortgage of $3,720,000, as well as home loan, housing trust fund, Rhode Island rebounds fund, DH funds, and middle income funds. The developer is Dakota Partners. Properties, I apologize, and here somewhere, might be standing out there. So this project has been before the board previously. It did receive an allocation of 2022 credits as well as some gap financing, which is why these are revised. When completed, the Villages at Mansfield will provide 72 units to houses. 57 will be LIHTC restricted, and there will be an additional 15 units that are restricted to households up to 80% of AMI, which is different from the original approval back in 2022, which had those 15 units as market rate. The transaction was moving to closing in the second quarter of 2023 when the development lost its syndicator, when Signature Bank went under. This did set the development back, and the delay has resulted in higher construction pricing, lower syndication pricing, and some changes at the corporate level. The developer recently closed on a corporate financial restructuring, and they also wound down their in-house construction team. They have engaged Campanelli Construction for this project. Who is based in Braintree. In addition to sort of industry-wide costs, construction cost increases that we've talked about, the engagement of a third-party construction firm has also resulted in higher construction pricing. Since 2022, overall, development costs have gone up about $5.6 million. But we note that at $359,000 per unit, the project is still one of the less expensive projects we're talking about today. The initial preliminary approval for this had a reservation of 2022 LIHTC, which requires that the project place in service by the end of this calendar year, which is obviously not feasible. So we are recommending rescission of the 2022 reservation and a revised reservation of 24 or 25 credits. As part of its review of the 2024 LIHTC round, the funding committee, which included Commissioner Orth, reviewed the status of this and approved the rescission and reallocation of the tax credit. I will note that because the project has been around for a while, we are going to impose some very tight deadlines on achieving firm commitment and closing, and those conversations have already begun. We're, in summary, seeking approval of a revised preliminary approval of low-income housing tax credits, as well as a taxable first mortgage home loan, housing trust funds, Rhode Island rebounds, development of affordable housing, and middle income. Pretty much the kitchen stuff.
Well expressed.
All right. Any preceding motion? Is there a motion?
So moved. Kent Moore.
How about a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Any questions or comments on item 12? And Corey, I assume that the title revised approval incorporates all that was described in terms of decision, revision, allocation. All those actions are being taken in item 12.
That is the intention. All of those items are reflected on the written resolution included in your board materials today.
So are we ready for that, for the vote to be taken?
Or you can go ahead and proceed and take the voice vote.
Of course. All those in favor of revised approval of a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing as presented for the villages at Manville located in Lincoln, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have six yeas, and the motion is approved.
Congratulations. On item 13, preliminary approval of financing for Park Home 5, Newport. Back to Ann.
Thank you. This request is for preliminary approval of a tax-exempt loan of $12,300,000, of which $2,313,000 will remain as permanent financing, as well as preliminary approval of home, capital magnet fund, housing trust fund for Park Home. And I'm happy to point out, she's hiding in the back there, Rhonda Mitchell, congratulations. She's overseen all five phases of the redevelopment of this housing development. So kudos to you. As I said, Park Home 5 is the final phase of this five-phase redevelopment of what was originally a 262-unit public housing development located in Newport. This project involves the demolition of 20 units in 7 buildings and the new construction of 45 units. Phase 4 is currently under construction, and we are happy to report that at the conclusion of Phase 5, we will have met and exceeded by a couple of units the requirement for one-for-one replacement. Phase 5 will be fully affordable, with all of the units below 60% of AMI and all of them subsidized either through a project-based voucher contract or an ACC contract under the public housing rules. So Boston Financial will be the syndicator, and they've actually been the syndicator on all previous rounds, all previous phases, so it's great for their commitment. Their investor is Citizens Bank, who has also participated in all of the phases. This development was previously awarded $6,750,000 of the SFRF public housing funds in November of 2023. This development will require prevailing wage since it's public housing, so that does increase the overall total development cost. And in addition to the new housing units, I think it's important to point out that as part of this redevelopment of a public housing site, there are, new landscaping, new infrastructure, new interior streets, new walking paths, and all of the existing utilities are going underground, which will really increase the long-term viability of a development that's pretty close to the coast. So in summary, again, requesting preliminary approval of a tax-exempt loan, home loan, capital magnet fund loan, housing trust fund loan, all for Park Home 5.
Perfect. This is lucky item number 14. Are there any questions preceding Motion. Is there a motion?
So moved, Jonathan Wilmer.
And a second?
Second. Erica Rawl.
Sarah with the second. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, Corey, would you please do the honors?
Of course. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing as presented for Park Home 5 located in Newport, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have another unanimous vote and the motion's approved.
The congratulations.
Looking forward to seeing this progress.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. Item 14, approval of middle-income loan program funding awards. Anne.
Thank you. So this is a little bit different in that we're doing, these are not individual project awards as opposed to the funding awards. So middle-income, also funded with state and local fiscal recovery funds. It is for the production of housing for households with incomes between 80 and 120% income. At the beginning of this RFP, there was about $13.8 million available to disperse. We received 24 middle-income proposals requesting more than $24 million. One of the key criteria of this program is that 20% of the units must provide housing for households with incomes at or below 100% of AMI. And today we're recommending approval of $11,344,730 of middle income to support 591 units, of which 147 will be deed restricted as middle income. We've already touched on Omni Newark. They are going to receive a middle income award of $985,000 for 11 units. Villages at Manville is receiving an award of $214,730. 1624 Lonsdale, I believe Eric Zuena and Bill Kiplett are here somewhere. Mike Lashinsky is here representing them. 1624 Lonsdale, also known as Lonsdale Memorial Loft, is a joint venture between Valley Affordable Housing and Lonsdale Memorial, Memorial Holdings. It's the proposed redevelopment of the former Lincoln Memorial School. There will be 26 affordable apartments for households at or below 80% of AMI. There'll be studio, one and three-bedroom units. The development is also being recommended for a an ARP loan later this morning. And so this $2,230,000 middle income award is contingent upon completion of the standard underwriting. Next we have Good Homes Warwick. I believe David Mitchell is here. Good Homes Warwick is the conversion of the former Sheridan Hotel on Post Road in Warwick. There will be 238 units, all 80 to 120% AMI. The project will consist of studios and one bedrooms. While the majority of the units will have rents at or below 100% of AMI, our middle income award will be targeted to the one bedroom units, which meets our size requirements. And we're recommending an award of $2,295,000. Clearview Apartments, again, I believe Mike Lashinsky is representing the developer, who is Kyle Sabos. And this is a proposed 31-unit development located on Broad Street in Central Falls. This building is actually 70% complete. And when originally designed, it was going to be 100% market. They're now proposing to make 19 of the units affordable to households at or below 80%. And we're recommending a middle income award of $1,485,000. Postal Apartments, I believe Eric Army may be here, or are you here for him as well? There you go. this is the proposed conversion of an old post office in Olderville Square into 12 residential units, four of which will be deed restricted for units for households at 80%. The remaining eight units will be market rate. The development also includes about 2,000 square feet of retail and restaurant space. We're recommending an award of $390,000 for middle income for this program. The next one is Old County Village, which is a home ownership. I know that the developer here is out of town and is not able to attend. Being developed by Atlantic Northeast Property Management, it's in total there's going to be 79 condominiums, all four bedrooms. We're recommending a middle income award of $1,425,000 for 15 affordable four bedroom condos. This developer previously received an award of Home Ownership Investment Fund and has already completed five affordable. So in total, there'll be 20 affordable units out of the 79 units, all of which are four bedrooms, which is great. The next one, Dexter Street Commons. I know Lee Pizer is here. There he is. Been talking to Lee for several years now. Dexter Street Commons is the new construction mixed-use development at the former Conant Thread site in Pawtucket, right near the new train station. The development will include 150 rental units and 7,000 square feet of ground floor retail. The proposed project has a variety of amenities. 30 units will be deed restricted under the middle income program. We also note that they're being recommended or have actually been approved by the secretary for a TOD funding award. There is still additional financing that needs to be finalized, and obviously awards are contingent upon a full capital stack. So in total, we are requesting approval of $11,344,730 for eight developments.
Thank you for the description. Any questions preceding the motion?
Just one comment.
Thanks, Steve. Got to put on my City Council
President
hat, and very excited about the project of Warwick. It's really going to improve that area that Sheridan been closed for a long time. It's by the airport. It's one of the first things that everybody sees, and it's really exciting to have these 238 new units and the seven here that we're supporting today. So congratulations to everybody, but I'd just like to put a little spotlight on my
Very good. Any other comments or questions?
I'll make a motion to approve. James Peters.
All right, the Treasurer has a motion on Action 14, the set of items under Middle Income Loan Program Funding Awards. That motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Stephen has seconded it. Any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, Corey, please.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of approving Middle Income Loan Program Funding Awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have six yeas and the motion's approved.
Congratulations to everyone involved.
All the developers.
Board Action 15, approval of Capital Magnet Fund Awards, and
I'm out of order here. Capital Magnet Fund, here we go. Rhode Island Housing has been lucky enough to receive four Capital Magnet Fund grants. The most recent award was $12 million, which we received in June of 2023. This program has really specific priorities around ELI and VLI units below 50% of AMI, and developments in qualified census tracts, which makes it tricky for us to pair Capital Magnet Fund with projects. We received 14 proposals requesting about $11.6 million in CMF funding. And we are proposing funding for six projects, four of which we've talked about before. So Center City Apartments on the 9% side, $999,000 award. Omni Newark, $775,000. 321 Knight, $500,000. Park Home 5, $999,000. In addition, we are recommending an award of $999,000 for Lockwood Plaza Phase 2, 101 units, all 100% affordable. This award is partial funding for this project, which is a preservation project, and It will be contingent upon completion of a full capital stack. The next one is Newport Heights Phase 1. I'm dating myself. This is one of the first tax credit projects we did under the Choice Neighborhoods back in 2001. It's being developed by Trinity Financial, 81 units. They're looking to recapitalize that as part of a RAD conversion. We're recommending a $999,000 CMF award, and it can be partial funding, so they'll be back. In summary, we're requesting approval of $5,271,000 of CMF for six projects with 415 units, of which 401 are CMF qualified.
Very good. Any questions off the bat?
15 approval
capital magnet fund awards.
Is there a motion?
So moved. Kevin Moore.
And a second?
Second, this is Steve.
We have the recused, Jim.
Okay, the treasurer has recused.
Corey.
Noted, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Properly moved and
seconded. There is a recusal. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, Corey, would you please conduct the voice vote?
Of course. All those in favor of approving capital magnet fund awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With the treasurer's recusal, we have five votes in the affirmative, and the motion is approved.
On to item 16. This is approval of acquisition and revitalization program funding awards as the ARP program, and to Ann for description of the ARP program proposals.
Thank you. As we get to the end of this, I would be remiss if I did not thank the team that's behind me, our development group. They really did a yeoman's job, and it's because of their work that we're here today. So I just want to say thank you very much. The ARP program is the Acquisition and Revitalization Program is part of the $65 million housing bond that was approved by the voters in 2021. ARP's purpose is really a focus on neighborhood stabilization and communities that have been strategically targeting foreclosed and blighted properties. The ARP funds were included in this consolidated funding round, and we received 18 requests for almost $17 million. We have 7.2 in ARP funds to allocate. So we are recommending several awards here today. The first is for Hope and Maine, and I think Lisa Riola is here. Hope and Maine West End Kitchen is being developed by Hope and Maine. It's a 20,000 square foot campus on two properties on Westminster Street that are connected through a party wall. The site will provide six shared use kitchens and infrastructure for specialized food production, as well as including baking, meal prep, catering, commissary, and consumer packaged goods. The site will provide opportunities for businesses that are ready to transition out of the Hope and Main building in Warren, but really are not ready or can't find a portable production space for them to build out or lease. This development is anticipated to require a phased approach, and the ARP funding is being recommended for cost to stabilize and code updates for 945 Westminster. And as was pointed out at the credit committee meeting, as a result of the bridge foreclosure, it's just been that much more obvious for a need for a space in Providence, so that many of the folks who take advantage of Hope and Main and Warren live in the Providence metropolitan area. So we're recommending a $2 million ARP award for Hope and Main. We're recommending an award for 321 Knight Street of $1,465,953, Parcel 9 Phase 2, $1,750,000, and 1624 Lonsdale, $2 million of ARP funds. And in total, so that's $7.215 million. To support the project.
Questions?
This is item 16, the ARP funding awards, and I'll entertain a motion.
So moved, Jonathan Wolmer.
Moved, is there a second?
Second, this is Steve.
Questions or comments?
All right, Corey, we are ready for the voice vote.
All those in favor of approving Acquisition and Revitalization Program, otherwise known as ARC funding awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 affirmative votes, and the motion is approved. Thanks.
Thank you. Congratulations to all. Some very good projects. On Board Action 17, Approval of Housing Production Fund, or HPF, funding award. Anne, please.
Thanks. Getting to the end here. The Housing Production Fund was established by the state to support the production of housing for households under 80% of AMI. It's funded through the real estate transfer tax. So this funding source was not included in the request for proposal. But while all of the production dollars under this program were previously committed, following the issuance of the RFP, we actually rescinded some dollars, so then threw them into the pot for this RFP. The threshold criteria and scoring are the same as they are for the DAH2 program, so that made that pretty simple. Each of the commitments, again, subject to standard underwriting, we're recommending 2 projects that will create 73 units of housing. The first is Parcel 9, Phase 2, which we've talked about, an award of $2,286,306. The next one is 23 Central Street, and Linda Weisinger is here. This is being developed by Pawtucket Central Falls Development Corp. It's right around the corner from 44 Central Street, which is barreling toward closing, and will produce some terrific new units in Central Falls and Pawtucket. 23 Central Street, the new construction of 12 affordable units for households ranging from 30% to 50% of AMI. They'll also be partnering with Foster Forward on this deal. This project is also being recommended for the Acquisition Revitalization Program, so $2,218,575 of HPF. I should say it was previously recommended and received ARC funds. I apologize for that. And so we're in total seeking approval of $4,504,881 worth of recommendations.
Perfect.
Mr. Chair, this is Corey Meyer speaking. Just noting for the record that Robert Craven Jr. has joined the meeting replacing Treasurer Dio. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. I'll entertain a motion on item 17, the HPF funding awards. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
And how about a second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Questions or comments on the HPF funding awards? Hearing none. Corey, would you please?
Of course, all those in favor of approving Housing Production Fund, otherwise known as HPF funding awards, as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Please say nay. We have a unanimous vote, and the motion's approved.
Thank you. On
Chairman, can we note that we have completely covered all of the financing for today, moving on to more administrative matters. Thank you to Ann and the team for all their work. Thank you to our partners for outstanding work getting
We are on item 18, HPF ELI, and ask Michael to do the honors
in this particular case.
Thank you, Chairman. Michael DiCaro. Happy to give Anna a few minutes.
Get some water in.
Yeah. I am presenting a request for approval of Housing Production Fund Extremely Low Income, or HPF ELI, Operating Reserve Awards. The Housing Production Fund established a priority for households either exiting homelessness or earning not more than 30% of the area median income. These funds will bridge the gap between residents' ability to pay 30% of their gross household income toward rent and the established 50% low-income housing tax credit rent for the applicable unit size. There's probably $3,780,840 of HPF ELI funding available, and we are recommending awarding all of these remaining funds to 5 developments. In November of last year, we issued an RFP for HPF ELI funds as part of the consolidated funding round. In response, Brown Housing received 18 proposals requesting more than $15 million in HPF ELI funds. Staff reviewed applications in accordance with the published program due criteria. 5 awards we're proposing will support 54 newly created 30% AMI residential units. four of the five developments have been discussed earlier, so I'll go through those fairly quickly. Omni Newark, staff is recommending an award of $243,289, which will support three units. 3321 Ninth Street, recommending support of nine units for an award of $729,862. Center City Apartments, 9%, also 29 units, with an award of $859,742. Hostel 9, Phase 2, we're recommending supporting 13 units, with units with an award of $1,535,963. And the fifth award is to Crossroads Health and Housing. Crossroads Health and Housing, which is being developed by Crossroads Rhode Island, is the proposed demolition of the existing structure at 371 Pine Street in Providence and the subsequent new construction of a five-story mixed-use building on the site. In addition to the 35 apartments, the property will feature common space for residents, offices for Crossroads leasing and social service staff, along with 2,500 square feet of commercial space to be leased to community partners with an emphasis on health and wellness. The development is designed to address both the housing and healthcare needs of people experiencing homelessness. All units will be restricted for households with incomes at or below 30% of AMI. We are recommending funding to support 19 units, which computes to an award of $411,986. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate it.
Are there questions? Hearing none on the HPF
ELI matters,
which are
Board Action 18, is there a motion?
So moved, Jonathan Wilmer.
And a second?
Second, Robert
Craver. Bob has seconded. Any questions or comments?
Hearing none, Corey, for the voice vote, if you would.
All those in favor of approving Housing Production Fund Extremely Low Income Operating Reserve awards, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have six votes in the affirmative, and the motion is approved.
Very good. Just when Ann thought she was off the hook, she's back on the hook. We have
Board Action 19, Transfer of Physical Assets, TPA, for Adelaide Apartments in Providence.
Thank you, sir. So this RFA is, again, an administrative action under our general rules. We are requesting approval of the transfer of the limited partnership agreement in Adelaide Apartments, also known as Middle Rose Apartments, which is a 36-unit affordable housing development in Providence. The owner is Adelaide Avenue Limited Partnership. Adelaide Avenue Development Corp is the general partner, wholly owned by One Neighborhood Builders doing business, Olneyville Housing Corporation doing business as One Neighborhood Builders. The current investor limited partner is an affiliate of Enterprise, which holds a 99.9% interest. They are going to withdraw and transfer their partnership interest to One Neighborhood Builders, who will assume all of the existing obligations. The 15-year compliance period ended in 2018, and I know Jen and One Neighborhood Builders have been working to try and sort of identify the best preservation opportunity for this going forward. Peabody Properties is the current property manager. They're not affiliated with One Neighborhood Builders, and no change. So we're requesting approval of the transfer of the limited partnership from the Enterprise Fund to One Neighborhood Builders.
On item 19, any questions?
Is there a motion?
So moved. Have more.
Is there a second?
Second.
Another shot of questions or comments?
Hearing none, Corey, would you please?
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of approving a transfer of physical assets for Adelaide Apartments in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote, and the motion's approved.
Thank you. On to item 20, approval of developer for 700 Victory Highway in West Greenwich. That's a Wooten Development Corporation, or WDC, project.
And I'm going to ask
to take this one.
Thank you. This is James Comer. This request for action is for approval to designate Women's Development Corporation as a developer for the acquisition and development of 700 Victory Highway in West Greenwich. That is a development consisting of 59 acres of land, right on Victory Highway 102, about a mile north of 95 in West Greenwich. The parcel was acquired in 2002 by the Rhode Island Housing Land Bank and has been held in the land bank ever since, despite the best efforts of a previously designated developer to develop the site. In October of 2023, Rhode Island Housing issued a new RFP to designate a qualified developer for the site. We received three responses. The responses were evaluated by an internal committee, and interviews were held with each one of the responding developers. Also, because of the long time in this development process and the desire to have the involvement of the town, we shared the responses with the town of West Greenwich, representatives of their town council and staff. And while they did not factor into the ultimate selection, the opinions of the town were given some weight and were really helpful in helping us formulate our process. Pending this process, the selection committee unanimously approved Women's Development Corporation as a selected developer. Their proposal is for 44 family units consisting of 4 one-bedrooms, 16 two-bedrooms, and 24 three-bedrooms. The affordability for each unit will be 11 units at 30%, 20 at 60%, and 13 at 80% of area median income. The design is consistent with the architectural character of West Greenwich, and it does build upon WDC's great experience in developing in the rural parts of the state. Actually, it was a very big factor in the town appreciating this proposal because they got to see some of the other work that WDC has done in other communities. WDC intends to seek rental subsidy for the 30% units and will provide on-site property management and resident service coordination through Housing Opportunities Corporation, its affiliated company. Happy to answer any questions.
This is item 20. Are there questions? Hearing none, is there a motion regarding item 20?
I'll make a motion, Robert Craven.
Thank you. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second, John Palmer.
Any questions or comments? Corey, would you please?
Of course. All those in favor of approving as developer of 700 Victory Highway in West Greenwich, namely Women's Development Corporation, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 affirmative votes, and the motion is approved.
For our 21st and final action, we have an item that did not come up through the Credit Committee, but came up through the Management Committee. We're pleased to have item 21, approval of engagement of consultant for the COC program, the 2024 Continuum Care Program Competition, Housing Innovations, LLC, to Elizabeth Bioto.
Thank you. This is Elizabeth Bioto. Housing Innovations, LLC, to support Rhode Island Housing staff in developing and submitting an application for funding under the 2024 Continuum Care Competition. As the board's aware, Rhode Island Housing serves as a collaborative applicant to HUD on the behalf of Rhode Island Care. In that role, we apply annually nationally and compete for Continuum of Care funding and new homelessness demonstration program funding on behalf of the Rhode Island Continuum of Care. If approved, Housing Innovations is prepared to commence working in May or June with Rhode Island Housing staff to complete all the relevant elements of the competition and submit at least 2 business days before HUD's deadline. We don't yet know exactly when that deadline will be. HUD will tell us when they formally open competition. It usually happens in early summer, so we like to be prepared and get the local work we can do underway early, so we're ready to respond to once they open the formal competition. To do so, we issued our request for proposal for a qualifying firm to support us in developing this application on February 28th. We received a proposal in response from Housing Innovations, LLC. A committee of Rhode Island Housing staff in the executive division conducted a review of the proposal in accordance with the ranking criteria and is recommending approval of Housing Innovations at this time for an amount not to exceed $20,000. It will be a year-long engagement because after we submit the funding competition, they'll support our grantees and Rhode Island continuing
questions for Elizabeth. Hearing none, is there a motion?
So moved, Jonathan Walmer.
Item 21 on the COC program competition is moved. Is there a second?
Robert Craven, second.
Robert has seconded it. Another chance at questions or comments. For the final action, number 21 on the agenda today, Corey, would you please conduct a voice vote?
Happy to. All those in favor of approving the engagement of a consultant for the 2024 Continuum of Care Program Competition, that is Housing Innovations LLC, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is unanimous and is approved.
Phew. That concludes our business agenda. I will note that with over $100 million in actions, about $102 million in actions today, we've made significant progress. I should also note that the consolidated RFP received 75 applications requesting 2.4 times that amount, $240 million. So there is significant need. $100 million is an important figure. It should be noted that before the General Assembly for consideration is a $100 million bond for housing purposes. So we've taken a $100 million action today. We do need to replenish our coffers, and there is a $100 million bond in consideration. Wanted to note that. And I also want to conclude where we started, which is to thank the team here at Rhode Island Housing, starting with the commissioners this time. Thank you to all board members for all of your hard work, and Carol and James and the whole team, with special recognition for Ann and her team. Thank you very, very much. I will entertain a motion that we adjourn. Is there such motion?
Motion to adjourn. This is Steve.
Is there a second?
I'll second. Kevin Horst.
Corey, would you mind conducting that voice?
I do not mind. All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote.
Thank you.